The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program is Ethan Hewitt with KMA Land Shenandoah. Ethan, can you start us off with a question for Senator Grassley?
You bet. Thanks for the time again here today, Senator. Of course, the September 30th funding deadline is approaching here, and there are some reports that President Trump is planning to meet with some of the top Democratic leaders sometime this week to hash out kind of a funding deal here, of course, to prevent any sort of government shutdown. I guess, kind of, what are your kind of thoughts, obviously, as this deadline approaches, and how quickly do you believe the deal can be worked out here in the next couple of weeks?
Well, first of all, I want to talk about what would be called a Schumer shutdown if it happens. I'd like to remind him it costs money to shut the government down, costs money to open the government up. The government's supposed to be a service to the American people. You can't serve the American people. And if he's shutting down the government because of certain things he thinks he can force on the United States Senate, policies he wants changed, usually that doesn't happen. So you open up the government again, and the reason it was shut down because of being bullheaded, it doesn't really happen in the end. So now Democrats should be afraid of what we call a clean CR, which means that you put off any negotiations until the appropriation bills come up before the end of the year. And Democrats have voted for, in the last few decades, about 13 times for a clean CR, so they shouldn't be opposed to doing it another time. So then let's just look at Thursday when you're going to have this Democrat meeting. What comes out of that will probably have something to do with it, but I think that Republicans in the Senate and in White House are united that we want a clean CR. And that Democrats have some legitimate things they want to negotiate, but we got time to do that now and between now and the final bill that sets funding for 2026. I think just the way they want it done, no to that, but it's still a legitimate reason to negotiate some things like that. The reason why you wouldn't want to do it just the way they want to do it is, they set up a three-year temporary program to put more people on the Affordable Care Act, Obamacare for short, because of the pandemic, and then they extended it for another 2 years. Well, a temporary program is a temporary program, so it's got to end sometime. Now, I would say maybe there could be a phase out, but also some very important reforms that need to be done, because we have about 6 million people that are on Obamacare that don't use it, that the federal government is paying billions of dollars to insurance companies that shouldn't be paid. And that'd be just one reform that could be worked out with the Democrats to extend this for a limited period of time. One reason why it's not unreasonable to not extend it, because it provides for people over 400% of poverty index to get subsidized health insurance. So you got people of a family of four that could be making $225,000 a year, could be getting a subsidized government program that's even better than if you were getting something at some company you were working for, and you'd have to pay more than what the federal subsidy is. So there's some unfairness in just extending this thing just the way it's been the last 5 years. Temporary means temporary.
Sure. And then also, of course, related to funding a little bit. I know there's still work being done on getting kind of a skinny farm bill done here. What's kind of the status of getting that slimmed down legislation passed? And I guess what are maybe some of the provisions that you've been hearing from constituents that still need to be addressed here?
Well, most of them would be addressed separately from extending the rewriting the 5-year farm bill. The things that are left in what you call a skinny farm bill, because we increase support prices and improve crop insurance in the tax bill that recently passed is relatively non-controversial. What we're trying to find out is the support prices that we gave for crops in 25 won't actually be paid to farmers until later next year. So what do you do about getting the crops in next year if you aren't making a profit this year? And we call that a bridge program. And we're trying to find money that can be used to bide farmers over through input costs for next year to get their crops in before they get the increased support payments that came through the tax bill.
Sure. But also kind of on agriculture a little bit also. What's the latest you've kind of heard on when it comes to trade talks with China, of course, particularly regarding any talks of soybean purchases, purchases of U.S. soybeans by China?
Very, very difficult. Very, very disappointing that American and Chinese negotiators met in Spain last week, and soybeans was supposed to be one of the topics of discussion, and all that came out of it was TikTok. So very, very disappointing and very, very bad news for farmers that are going to harvest probably a darn good bean crop this fall and no place to go with it. And some elevators that would normally be emptying their elevators, particularly in the upper Midwest, by sending stuff to China. There hasn't been a single soybean sent to China this year. Those elevators are full, and maybe the farmers can't deliver their soybeans.
And Senator, also as the conflict between Israel and Hamas continues in the Middle East, we've seen Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu push back pretty strongly against countries such as the UK, Canada, and Australia formally recognizing a Palestinian state. He's going as far as to say there will be no Palestinian state. I guess kind of what are your thoughts on this development, and does this kind of move this conflict closer or further from any sort of resolution?
It's between Israel and the Palestinians to negotiate themselves. It's not something that other countries should be interfering with. I think that you would find, like I recently read, about even just a minority of Palestinians and a minority of Israelis think that a Palestinian two-state solution is realistic.
Sure. And Senator, you also recently co-introduced the Combating Organized Retail Crime Act of 2025, which looks to crack down on robberies and retail theft. I guess kind of talk a little bit more about what this legislation would do and I guess kind of the need for this type of policy.
It's really a mega corporation style crime problem that we have. When I say that, you have sophisticated people that are going to rob a big box store with very expensive equipment. The stuff that's probably electrical. You go in and in just a couple minutes have your eye on what you're going to take out. You steal it. It's costing the subsequent consumers a lot of money on other products they're going to buy that the robbers aren't interested in stealing. Then they put it on the internet and sell it. The profits are laundered to China. China sends fentanyl back to the cartels of Mexico. The fentanyl comes into the United States to kill our kids. I've had hearings on this. That's exactly what happens. And this bill will get the federal crime involved in this. So we, instead of just having local police get involved in it because they're limited in what they can do, the crime in their city, but it doesn't, let's say Cedar Rapids police can't do anything about laundering money to China, fentanyl coming back into Mexico, fentanyl coming into the United States, killing our kids. We want to get a federal intervention in this to break up this scheme.
Is that it?
Those are the six questions I had.
Okay. Goodbye.
Thank you, Senator.
Thanks, Ethan, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.